I think, first of all, it's appalling to think that, you know, all this was done and now it's not, I suppose, in a sense, you know, they're calling it a waste of time, for the want of a better word, because all these testimonies were given. They're saying, you know, because they weren't under oath and stuff like that, that they're not, you know, they're not legible, or not legible, but they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? I suppose, they're not truthful, because you need legal proof, which is ridiculous. All these people sat down and gave their testimonies. I think it's just, you know, going back on their word, as the government has done since the first act in 1974, the year I was born. And, you know, we have no right for information. I've no right to my medical information until now, and they're changing the apparently going through the law now with birth certs, which you couldn't get all along. And it just seems to be that they're kicking the can down the road for the, look, leave it to the next government. But all previous governments have failed. What's going to change? You know, this one has turned around now and said, sorry, we're not going any further with this.
It sounds, Anthony, like you just have no faith in any positive
Absolutely
consequences
none.
Or outcome emerging from all of this.
Absolutely none, because, you know, as I said, if you look back at the history of the whole thing, it's just like, you know, you think you get an independent report that's going to be sufficient, that's going to bring some justification and justice, and maybe, you know, some bit of peace of mind to all those who made those reports. It's I think it's shameful on behalf of the Irish people to think that we have a government and previous governments that have let us down badly. And we have been let down badly, and we've been let down badly, and there's nothing been done about it. It's just, you get this report that he's not doing it, and nobody says anything. I mean, yeah. You know, we need to stand up and say this is enough. It's been going on for, you know, look, it's been going on from illegal adoptions back to the time of De Valera. They were adopting kids out to America, and mothers were being told their kids had died. You know, proof of that is there. You know, it's not as if it's fiction, but you think it would be fiction, because it's hard to believe.
I guess, unfortunately, it isn't fiction. We also have Breda Murphy with us. Breda is the PRO of the Tuam Mother and Baby Home Alliance. Breda, thanks for joining us. You've heard Anthony there. He's appalled, I'd say disappointed, perhaps not shocked, to use the word shameful. What did you make of what Minister O'Gorman had to say? Hello, Breda? No, we appear to have lost Breda on the line. We'll see if we can get her back. Why do you feel, though, Anthony, that there wasn't adequate information provided as reasoning for pulling the independent investigation?
Honestly, you know, and I honestly think that it's a cover-up for wrongdoings. And I mean, I was adopted to St. Patrick's Guild, and I remember years ago when there actually was a civil case brought against them, and I remember something, the payout was maybe 120,000, it was pounds at the time. And all of a sudden, you know, they went broke, and they gave all their files into, I don't know what the government body was at the time, and that money, from what I believe, has never been paid out. And I think it's literally, you know, covering up for these big Catholic institutions. They're afraid of losing their millions, and meanwhile people are suffering, and people have suffered, and a lot of those people unfortunately have passed away without ever being heard. And you know, to sit down and do this report, I think was an absolute insult to people, and I think insult is even it's too mild a word to say that you'd sit down, pour your heart out, and then to be told, you know, this is no good. What it cost alone, but I mean, I'm surprised they didn't put it into or make out that it was, you know, for like they did with the misappropriation of funds for a charity reason, you know, they find ways around doing these things to keep people quiet, and all of a sudden then they pull the rug out from under you.
Yeah, I think
you know, and I seriously think it's a cover up for those, because I think if it gets to the grassroots, the people that were actually involved back through the years, people would be shocked at the actual people that were involved in it. You know, you can't name names, you can't mention without proof, but the proof is there. But I just think they're afraid of going any further, that an independent review will come in and people will be named, and you know, it could be, I know this sounds a bit extreme, but it could bring down the government.
I'm sure there are those, Anthony, who would agree with you on that. I think we should have Breda Murphy on the line with us. Good morning to you, Breda.
Good morning. I'm really sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No problem. You know, it's just technology can fail you at the best of times, Breda, but thanks for being with us. Look, Anthony's frustration, disappointment, clearly evident, and I think a lot of people, pretty much everyone would say, very understandable. Do you have any hope or faith that this decision to pull the investigation, there could be a reprieve and we could see an about turn on it?
No, the government seem to hold firm to the view that it cannot be, they cannot appoint an independent evaluator to look at the testimonial evidence. Now, they did look at illegal adoptions before, and Anthony might refer to that there in talking about reports. And the person they appointed to do the investigation into illegal adoptions was a wonderful lady who was very much on the side of those who had suffered at the hands of the state. And her name is Marion Reynolds. And she submitted her report. It was commissioned in 2018, submitted in 2019. It took over 12 months for the government to release a redacted report, parts of it redacted, which Ms. Reynolds herself had issues with. She asked then that her name no longer be associated with the report because it did not give clarity to those who were housed in some 15 institutions where irregular or illegal adoptions may have taken place. And that number could be anything from 5,000 to 20,000. So the state have never looked really at illegal adoptions. They've not admitted their, you know, they've not shown their hand. What they've done to us time and again is silence survivors and do it in such a way that they pretend they are going to do something and then pull the rug. Like, we were not informed. No survivor was informed of this decision of the rollback. And it seemed to have been taken primarily by the government, well, by maybe Mr. O'Gorman and his department, because he stated at the hearing with the committee the other day that no memo was prepared on the matter. And yet there is evidence that at the very least a draft discussion document was prepared between senior officials in the department. Now, you do not do that unless you're bringing it to government, and that would have been the Secretary General of the department, the principal officer of the department, and the special advisor to the minister. So it was at that stage in June of 21, we would have expected that it would have got further. But we have no clarity as to why, other than we hear from the minister that it would cause legal complications and consequences. But nobody speaks about the consequences for people like Anthony, for people who have not or do not know and will never know maybe of their birth history. Nobody talks about them. And I think it is very much, like Anthony says, a cover-up again and again. And, you know, survivors go to the table and family members and they give of their testimony and then are asked to repeat it. And
Breda,
in an informal stage, you know, not he says it would be informal next time or whatever. Already given it formally. We want to be respected in that same commission's report as the religious orders, as the local authorities who presented their evidence.
While, as you say, there would be consequences for people like Anthony, I mean, would you have some agreement with Roderick O'Gorman's comments that this, you know, if repudiating the report could have other huge consequences and it could set a precedent and that there are legal complexities attached to it?
That stems from the Act in 2004 when they set it up. That is the fault law of government. The consequences that I'm speaking about are the consequences to government because of what they've done wrong. But the consequences also of not doing right by survivors are far-reaching for intergenerational, for Anthony, his family, his future grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Heritage and your story and your truth belongs to you. And the government, time and again, have tried to block survivors getting their own details. And for 21 years, the legislation that allowed this week for the opening of adoption records, for 21 years in Dáil Éireann, that was kicked about. At one point, they said that if a child was to look for its mother in the event that they had supplied some documentary evidence of who the mother was, that person, that child, who then obviously would be an adult, would be criminalised and may have a jail sentence simply because they may act on wanting to be reunited with their family. And it's interesting that of the 16,600 that had submitted to the contract tracing preference register, which is held by the same department, those people would write in like Anthony and say, yes, I would like to be informed if somebody comes looking for me, an extended family member. So mothers would do the same thing. And of that 16,600, only 400 ticked a box that said they did not want any contact. And some of them were adoptees themselves. Now, the one thing about the legislation, which most people don't realise, they think this is opening it up to everyone. Birth mothers, mothers who give birth in mother and baby homes, in Kilrush Nursery, and any of the areas associated with pregnancy outside of wedlock, any of those mothers who come now to retrieve their child, like my own relative did, they will not be facilitated if that child is still alive. So it's only in the event that the person has passed away that the mother can find the son or daughter's details, not otherwise, in relation to adoption. So it's not as straightforward as one would think, and it's not equality either. I think the government, time and again, you know, they do a very good spin on what they're delivering. But when you look at the small print, as everybody does, you find that it doesn't accommodate people. It didn't accommodate people in the first instance from the United States. It did not recognise the number, the telephone number, and so it blocked them out. But they can now apply for their records. That was a hitch with the system, but they should have been prepared for that. You know, they were talking about this being rolled out this week, and then you find, you go online, and, you know, even for Irish people, for people here who could get online, it took hours to fill the two documents that were required, one by TUSPA and one by the Adoption Authority of Ireland.
Okay, Anthony, I mean, Breda's touched on it there. So since Monday, adoptees such as yourself have been able to access your records. How do you feel about that? And also, as Breda says, the caveat that I guess it's not as straightforward as one might think.
Yeah, I got an email there recently to say that I was actually on the list, and it was quite, I don't know, it was emotional in one way, because it's kind of, you're one step closer after all this time, and then at the same time you're going, nothing is going to happen, because, you know, there's going to be something that's going to come up against you, which there always does. I mean, realistically, all I've ever really wanted was my medical history. I've had issues in the past, and, you know, I don't, you know, every time I'm asked, do you have a history of this in the family, I can't tell you. Before the 12th of November 1974, my history is not my own. I, you know, my family's history, my adoptive parents' history is not mine.
Yeah.
And I've been deprived of that because of the controversies that went on in these institutions. And they're feeding us breadcrumbs and expecting us to be happy with it. I'm calling on the government to stand up and be counted for once and do something for the likes of me. That's just our medical history, just a sense of place, to know where we came from. You know, it's a massive thing that people, you're dealing with people's lives, and you don't realise that. They're all talking about legislation, and this legislation is for the government. It's for them, and they can bamboozle you with all these different things. But it means nothing to me, because I don't know who I am. My mother doesn't know where I am. I'm one of thousands in this country. And maybe, you know, in other countries that where kids from Ireland have been adopted. And it's, I think it's criminal to say that no government has stood up for us. We vote for these people and they're coming on and they give us, they dangle a carrot in front of us and then they take it away. And I think they're laughing in our face. That's how I feel. I feel insulted. I feel degraded. I don't feel like a citizen because I don't have the history like my wife has or other people like you have when you're not adopted, because, you know, it is. It's, you're playing with our lives and you think it's okay to do that. Well, it's not okay to do that.
No.
And I mean, I've called for this report and then they come along and say, and give us this bull. It's not good enough. But somebody needs to stand up and say, what the hell is going on? I the last time I spoke to you, I spoke about the man on the Late Late Show and how anybody couldn't be moved by that. There is hundreds of the likes of him in this country. And previous governments have literally insulted us and insulted them. And I think it's just scandalous that this has been allowed. And again, we're faced with this again. They'll come up with some other bull that we have to listen to. Meanwhile, you're playing with people's lives. My mother could be passed on, I don't know. But I still don't know my medical history. And for some reason they tell you, you're not entitled. How the hell would I know who my mother is just by giving me my medical history?
Yeah.
It was that stupid. I could never literally understand that. How they couldn't find, if through these records, how they couldn't find who she was, get a medical history. I mean, they black out, as you've seen in documents, where they black out, the stuff you're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? Why haven't they done that? I wouldn't have suffered with some of my health issues if I had known some of my medical history.
I have to...